Hello there, everybody, and welcome to the Rainmaker Site Building Roadmap. This is the first in our new series of webinars. We're very, very excited to have you here and to go over this material today. I am Jared Morris. This is going to be a really informative session. Obviously, we're kind of starting talking about some basics, but I think the roadmap that we have will be really, really useful, and we want to help you all build a strong foundation for your Rainmaker sites. And so that is our plan.
Full house today.
Yeah, no, it's great to see. Great to see. Alrighty, Chris, are we ready to move forward and get this thing going?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Let's do it. All right, well, welcome to the Rainmaker Site Building Roadmap. This is the first session in what is going to be an ongoing series of webinars and Q&As with the goal of helping you build a strong foundation for your Rainmaker platform website. And we will have different hosts. It won't always be me and Chris on these. For instance, Rafal Tamal will be joining us on our next one. So we'll be talking about different topics, bringing in different perspectives, all to help you build as strong a foundation as possible for your Rainmaker platform website. And today, we're going to start with the basics, and we're going to provide you with tips for setting up your basic Rainmaker site settings. That is going to be our goal today, and I will walk you through the agenda here in just a second. But I do want to start by just providing an overview for where we plan to take you with this webinar series. So basically, each month, we're going to have four events. We're going to have a webinar and then a related Q&A, and then another webinar and a related Q&A. And those two webinars will be organized around a specific topic. And so as we go through this series, these are the topics that we're going to cover. So in February, we're talking about your minimum viable website. So we're starting with settings, and then we're going to talk about design in our next session. In March, we're going to talk about setting up and maximizing your Rainmaker blog. Then in April, we will talk about getting more traffic, visibility, and sales. In May, we will talk about email, autoresponders, and curated newsletters. Then in June, we'll go on to selling digital downloads. In July, we'll talk about building authority and community through podcasting. In August, we will talk about educating and engaging customers with an LMS course. And in September, we will talk about sending the right message to the right people at the right time with marketing automation. That's what we have planned out for now. It doesn't mean that the webinar series will end there. But obviously, as we go, we will be taking your feedback, figuring out what other topics you want us to discuss that you need more insight on, and we will certainly add those as we move forward. But that is the roadmap that we have for now, and we're very excited to get started with it here today. Chris, any comments about our overall goals for this roadmap webinar series before we dive into today's topic?
Yeah, we're just trying to get together a roadmap of information that's both strategy and practical so that you can see how everything joins up and actually be successful with your Rainmaker site. Because it's one thing to tell people, okay, this is what this feature does and this is what this setting does, but it's another thing to show people how it all comes together, how to bring it all together and actually get what you want out of it, achieve your goals. So the idea is that we do these live webinars, you have the recordings, you have the Q&As, and we do whatever it takes so that you can be successful with your site, because that's the whole point. It's not a site to just sit there looking pretty. You've got a goal in mind, and we want to help you achieve that goal.
Absolutely. All right, so let's dive into today's agenda. So here's what we are going to cover today. We're going to start by talking about launching live and migrating. Then we'll go on to quick help and help mode. Then we'll provide an overview of the basic settings and then dive into some specific settings. So we'll talk about tips for general settings, tips for result settings, tips for your admin settings. We'll also talk about two very important default pages that you should work on immediately and that should definitely be ready to go pretty soon after you get your Rainmaker site rolling. And then we will take questions at the end of this session. Now, obviously, there are a wide range of questions that you could ask and that may come up. You know, we will ask that you try to keep the questions somewhat on topic when we get to that. And then obviously, if we can't get to all questions today, that is what we have the Q&A for next week. And we will send out an email with a form so that you can submit specific questions, and then we'll be able to really dive into those on our next session as we move forward. And again, each of these will have a webinar and a related Q&A to make sure that we get to as many questions as possible, because we know it's not always possible to do that in the time allotted when we're actually presenting like we are today. All right, so let's dive in. And let's talk about launching live and migrating, which are going to be the first two things that you're going to want to think about when you get a Rainmaker site. And so you can always get instant, easy access to your Rainmaker account from inside of your dashboard. And so if you go to your dashboard and you roll over the help button, you'll see a link there for your account. So click that, and that will take you into your account. And it will give you a rundown of your Rainmaker sites. And I created a brand new site that I'm going to be using as kind of my test site as we go through this webinar series. So kind of walking through step by step as we go through this from beginning to, you know, having products to sell at the end of it. And so you can confirm that your site is in preview status, because you'll see a URL right here that says preview, and that means that your site is in preview status. It's not live at your domain. To actually do that, you have to launch your site to live. And so you can spend time in the preview site, getting everything ready, making it look how you want, getting your design up, as much time as you want. Or you can go live from day one. It all just depends on what your goals are, what your process is going to be. But whenever you are ready, you want to come back here and you can start your live site launch. That's how you do it. Now, before you do that, I would highly recommend going through the knowledge base and just going through what the live site launch will entail. And so you can always get to the knowledge base by rolling over the help button, clicking on the knowledge base link, and then if you simply search launching site to live, that will bring up the two relevant articles right here, launching your site to live and start your live site launch. That will give you all of the insight, the instructions that you need to make sure that you go through this process correctly, because it is not complicated by any means. There's just a couple specific steps and a few things that you'll need to have on hand and ready, for instance, like your domain name, and so you just want to make sure that you have all of that ready to go.
Yeah, and there's a video there by Amelia, I believe, that shows the steps of going to live as well. That's the third option there.
Yeah, there is. Launch to a live domain. Now, if you are not starting a site fresh with Rainmaker, you may be bringing another site over. You may want to migrate. And actually, this is what I'm going to do, because I'm bringing my – basically, I started a new site, and I'm going to bring my current site, Primility, over to this new site. And so I'm going to need to do a migration. And a lot of you are in that state, and that is totally fine. We handle migrations. If you go to my.newrainmaker.com/rainmaker-services, you can choose the site migration. And so you will need to be logged in to your my.newrainmaker.com customer account to access this form. But once you are, you'll see this little section right here where you can click on site migration, click next, and it will walk you through all of the relevant information that you need to submit to get moving forward with your site migration over to Rainmaker. And if you have any questions about this process, you can email support@rainmakerplatform.com, and they will be able to help you answer those questions about migrating. Alrighty, so moving forward now. You've launched your site to live, you've migrated over, you know, you're ready, or you're staying in preview mode, but you're ready to start moving forward with getting your site ready to go. Quick help and help mode are two very important features to know about and to have ready to help you, because we all need help from time to time. And we designed Rainmaker specifically to give you the help that you need, and we want it to be as convenient as possible so that help is there as soon as you realize that you need it. And so when you're inside of your dashboard, let's talk about quick help first. When you're inside of your dashboard, you will see this little green bar on every page. And that is there so that whenever you need help, you can get it quickly. So if you go scroll over that button, you will then see this pop out. And it will ask, how can we help you? And so you can type in a question, and that will bring up a number of results that are relevant. Or you have quick access to the knowledge base, to quick answers, to your account portal. And if you scroll down here, there are a number of topics with kind of resources laid out, whether it be videos or links to the knowledge base. So you can see it with A/B tests right here. But if you continue scrolling down, you will see it for podcasting and for the LMS and for all the different features of Rainmaker, all right there, so that you have quick, convenient access to the help exactly when you need it. That is quick help. There is also help mode. And so if you scroll over the help button, you will find a link for help mode along with a little toggle button right here. So when you click on that toggle button, this message will come up just letting you know what help mode does. So as it says, when help mode is toggled on, you will see convenient buttons throughout your Rainmaker dashboard that offer one-click assistance for various features. And so you can either click yes to toggle it on, or if you don't end up wanting that on, click no. But when you toggle it on, you will see this green button that tells you that it's on. And then where you will see that in the dashboard is a number of little green icons like this, right? And so when you scroll over those green icons, for instance, on the general settings page, this lets you know, here's where you can add your site's name and description and set your time zone, so kind of an explanation, and then a quick link so that you can learn more about that particular feature in the knowledge base based on the different resources that our documentation team has available. And it is absolutely one of the greatest and most expansive features of Rainmaker is the documentation of both the knowledge base, the guides, the videos. Our documentation team has done a wonderful job. And so using quick help and then turning help mode on, absolutely great ways to get the information, get the help you need as quickly and conveniently as possible.
So before we move on, got a couple of questions about what migration means and what going live means. So migration means that we would take the content from your existing site, your old site, and we would move it to your Rainmaker site before you go live. And the process depends on what your old site is like and how built out it is and what it was built on. So the easiest for us would be you've got a WordPress blog and you want to move it to be a Rainmaker blog. We could easily move your content over. And then maybe you've got a podcast. We've done that before. But the services team will talk through everything involved with you. We've done all kinds of different sites, the services team has. I'm not taking any credit for it. Daisy and Brian and the services team have done this many times. But each site is unique, right? So there might be a course there. There might be things that aren't necessarily one-to-one compatible. So they'll talk you through. But the easiest would be a WordPress blog, move it over to a Rainmaker site. Now, you don't have to do that, as Jeff asked. So you could dump your old site and start anew. You can absolutely do that. And if you have an existing site and you want to maintain the links but not necessarily maintain the content, you know, you want to keep your Google standing, your Google results, it's worth talking to the services team about that as well. So if you've used your domain before, if you've got example.com and you want to start afresh, but you want to keep that domain and keep as much of the Google juice as you can, it's also worth talking to the services team about that, because they can do redirects and things so that all the links coming into your site don't just go to a file not found page, right? You want everything to look good to search engines as well as human beings. But you don't have to. If you just want to go live, you've got a new domain, or you've got a domain that you've used before but you don't care about it, you can just take your preview site live as well. So you don't have to migrate. Migrate option is there if you want to carry over the content from your old site to your new one.
Yep.
Hope that explains things.
Yeah, good clarification, Chris. Alrighty. So let's move on now and let's talk about the settings. So there are a number of settings for Rainmaker, and when you scroll over this settings gear icon, it will give you quick access to the different settings that you have available. So there are general settings, design settings, content settings, traffic settings, email settings, conversion settings, result settings, podcast settings, and social settings. I'll tell you right now, we are not going to go over all of these settings in this session, because some of the settings are more appropriate for a particular session. So for example, when we go over podcasting, we will dive deep into the settings that are involved in a podcast. And the same thing goes with, for instance, design settings, which we will talk about in our next session. So we're not going to go over all of them, but this is where you get quick access to any of these settings. Okay, so just that gear icon and then choose the settings that you are interested in that moment. And then once you do that, it will bring you to this page. And so if we clicked on general settings, it will bring us here. And we still have easy access to any of the other settings. We can just choose one of these settings right here. And then obviously that little tab will be white to let us know that that is the settings page that we are on. And again, right here, we are on the general settings. So that's how you get there. That is how you navigate to the different settings. And you're going to spend a decent amount of time working on these settings, especially in the beginning when you are getting everything set up. You'll be using these settings. And so, as I mentioned, we'll go over them each one more in depth as we go through the Rainmaker site building roadmap. But let's start right now by going over the general settings. And we have some basic tips for you for these general settings, because these will definitely be the ones that you will do first. In fact, when you first sign up for your Rainmaker website, these come up. And so you have to put something in here, but you can always go back and change it later. And so the first setting that you will add is your site name. Pretty important setting, right? And so this is where the title of your site goes. And this title will be reflected in search engines. This title will be reflected in the header of your site, depending on which theme you choose and how you have your site designed. But this is the name of your site. And again, don't feel a lot of pressure that you have to get this perfectly right in the beginning and that you can never change it. You want to put something here, but it can always be changed later. But that is the name of your site. And then you have your site description. So this is basically your tagline. And it will be used in places like the search engine description and other places where the site description shows up. But you want something that is not too long, that pretty clearly articulates what your site is about. And I think the best taglines are descriptive, and they're also able to confer the benefit that the person who is visiting your site is going to get out of it. Right? So just to give you an example, and I've been working on my site description a lot for my site Primility, the topic of the site is about balancing pride and humility and the importance of that, and looking at a lot of different resources that talk about it. But I wanted to add something new to the description, and so that's why I added create meaning by balancing pride and humility. So that's great, balancing pride and humility. Whoop-de-doo, Jared. But what does that do? It helps you create meaning in your life, right? And so people don't necessarily come to a site, you know, wanting to balance pride and humility. They may never thought about that before, but they do want to create meaning in their lives. And so that to me is why that works a lot better as a description, as a tagline, than simply saying what the site is about. So if you can really get that benefit in there and speak to, you know, an inner desire of people based on what your site content is and what you want the goal of your site to be, then that can really make for a powerful site description and tagline. So that is the site description, and you enter that right here. And then the third major setting here on the general page is the time zone. And so it's really important to get this right and to make sure that you set this, because when you go in to edit a page or when you go in to edit a post and you want to set the time, you want to schedule it, you want it to be for the time zone that you're in or that you most use. Because if you've ever, you know, tried to mess around with time zones, you know that it can be kind of confusing. And so you want to make that process as simple as possible, especially for when you're scheduling, so that the post or the email goes out at the exact time that you want it. And so there are a lot of different options. There are, you know, when you click this and open it, it presents a range of options. There are different cities that are listed, and so you can find the city and choose the time zone that works with your city, or you can use the UTC time. And that's actually what the way that I did it. So I actually went and Googled, what is UTC time right now? And I Googled this at 1:06 p.m. local time, and it came up that UTC time is 7:06 p.m. right now. And so I just realized, okay, well, my local time is 6 hours before UTC time, so let me just use this option that is UTC minus 6, and that made it as easy as possible for me to make sure that I was on the right time zone that I wanted to be on. And so when you get in there and you look at that, it'll make sense with some of the different options there. But if you want kind of an easy little hack for how I did it without having any confusion, that was the way that worked out the best for me. And the last thing that I will mention on the general settings page is the two other settings that are on this page below set your time zone. So you have configure HTTPS and enable Rainmaker Labs. And we're not going to dive into those too much right now, because you don't need to worry about configuring your HTTPS right at the beginning. This is something that you will want to do little bit down the line when you are, say, you know, accepting credit card payments on your site, you will want to make sure that you have that configured, so we will come back to it when we get there. And then you can enable Rainmaker Labs, which will actually add another link here in the general settings. When you scroll over the gear, you'll then have a Rainmaker Labs tab. And this provides you with some different feature options for your site that are still in labs. So we haven't rolled them into the full platform, but there are some different feature options. And again, I think right when you're beginning, this can maybe be a little bit overwhelming, and they can be features that aren't necessary for you to get started. So we will discuss some of the features in there in the future, but we're not going to dive into them right now in this session because it's just a little bit beyond the scope. But both of those are there. And if you do want to enable Labs, you just click that check mark, hit save, and then you will have the new settings option here in the gear settings that will present you with some of those lab features. Chris, any thoughts on the general settings page?
Yeah, so what Jared said, I need to reinforce that you're setting the site name and your site description based on what people would be interested in or looking for. It's not like a filing system where you're setting a description that's just meaningful to you. You're trying to attract people, right? So on my nerdy robots and 3D printing site, I set the description to include search keywords, things that people are looking for in search engines. And we're going to have a whole session about search. We're going to talk about traffic and attracting people. But you know, just from being part of your community, what people might be looking for, right? You can always change it later. But I used brand names and I used topics in my site description that I knew people were looking for. So I say it's about 3D printing and robots and laser cutting and Raspberry Pi, okay? And that is going to turn up in search engines when your site comes up in the site results, the search results, but it's also going to tell Google what your site's about as well. So don't make a bland or too clever description. Think about what people are looking for and what's going to appeal to them. So I've got ideas, news, and tutorials for makers and hackers, and then I go into those keywords because that's what people are going to be looking for. Yep. And the second thing, so we talked about the time zone. So I've got my time zone set as Edmonton. I didn't have to do any Google. I just know that the time zone for my province is set in Edmonton. In Colorado, it would be Denver, I imagine.
Yes.
HTTPS, as Jared says, that's the secure connection for your site. And you don't only need that, really, when you're taking personal information or credit cards. And it's free to set up. You just request it, but you don't need it right from the start. I will talk about a couple of the Labs features that people do ask us about, and you do need to enable Labs to get these. One is pop-ups, and the other is a couple of the email integrations. GetResponse and MadMimi, both Labs features right now, they're not rolled in. So if you're using GetResponse or MadMimi right now, you would have to use the Labs feature. And it works, but we're not quite ready to put it in Rainmaker mainstream. So there are a couple of things that you might be interested in, but as Jared says, don't overwhelm yourself right now. If you're just setting your site up, you can always look at that later. But there are some goodies in there. There's some fun stuff that you might want to try, like the visual editor has been really, the visual page builder has been really popular, and we're going to keep working on that. But, you know, walk before you run.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing to note about configuring HTTPS is you can't do that on a preview site. So, again, for this site that I'm using as an example, it's still a preview site. So you would have to have a live site then to configure HTTPS, but it's a simple process from there.
Yeah, because it needs that domain name and it needs the domain name settings. And a couple of people have asked, you do need to, in your domain, point your domain name servers to the servers that we select for you because of things like setting up SSL, but also because one of the powerful things about Rainmaker is the caching. It means that your site is super fast because we have these powerful cache servers sitting in front of your website, so that if it's already in memory, it doesn't have to go to the database and pull it out and work on it. It can just deliver it really fast.
Yep, All right, so that is general settings. Let's hop in now to tips for results settings, because this is one of the other settings pages that you're going to want to visit right off the bat and get set up. And so when you click on results right over here, it will come up with Google Analytics. And this is where you can connect Google Analytics to your site. This, to me, is always one of the fundamental steps to take when you set up a new site, because it can be really, really easy to forget about and overlook. And then you're a month down the road and you go to check your traffic and you've got nothing because you haven't set up Google Analytics yet. So this is just one of those things. Set it up right from the start, even before you have traffic, and you're just going to be better off, because it'll make sure that you don't miss any valuable feedback that you could be getting about your visitors and about whether people are coming to the site or not. So click on results and then click on set up Google account. This will then take you to this page, which just basically says Rainmaker Platform would like to have offline access to your Google account, which allows it to then get your Google Analytics data. So click Allow, and then that will bring you back here to the settings page, and you will now see that it says Google is configured. And so if you ever want to remove Google authentication, you can do it right there, or you can re-authenticate if you need to. But the important next step is to select the right web property, because if you have multiple sites, then you may have multiple sites in your Google Analytics account. I know that is the case for me. So you want to make sure that you come back here and choose the correct website, choose the correct domain, so that you're set up with your Google Analytics account, and then click Save, and that's it. And now you're set up, and you will have access in the results section to your Google Analytics reports. There are widgets on the dashboard that will give you quick glances at your Google Analytics reports. And the big benefit there is that you don't have to now go, you know, into a separate tab or window and bring up Google Analytics. You can get the quick information, the quick results right there from your Rainmaker dashboard. Just make sure that you set it up properly, and doing it here in the results settings is the place to do it.
Yeah, and as a couple of people have pointed out, you do need to set up that web property in your Google Analytics. So follow the instructions and add that site into your analytics. And the reason we're telling you to do this so early is because you don't want to lose any of that information. You want to have that tracking in place as soon as the site goes live, so that you know where your traffic is coming from, what people are looking at. Even when it's a two-page website, you want to know if what you're doing is being successful, and you want that baseline, because that continuous improvement means comparing yourself against yesterday. So you don't want to wait to put your Google Analytics in. Some really interesting, useful information can come from the analytics, but you need that baseline, you need that foundation to work from.
Alrighty, now let's look at admin settings. And these are settings that can be really easy to overlook. In fact, I almost overlooked this entire section when I was putting this webinar together. But inside of your admin settings, there are some really useful settings that will enhance your experience in the back end of Rainmaker, and then also the posts that you publish. And so let's go over those real quick. So to get to your profile and to edit your admin user profile, scroll over right here and then click Edit My Profile. All right, and when you click Edit Your Profile, that will bring you in here, and it brings up your personal options, your name, and goes on down the page with some additional settings. And so I want to go over a couple of the notable ones. The first one is the visual editor. So the default is that the visual editor is enabled, and that means that when you are editing a post, editing a page, editing a podcast episode, you have a visual editor there and an HTML editor there, and you can toggle back and forth between them. That is pretty standard. Sometimes people want to disable the visual editor. A time when you might want to do this is if you're working a lot with HTML, you know, and you're doing some different things with embedding and with divs and some more complicated stuff on your pages, you may want to disable the visual editor, because sometimes toggling from HTML to visual does things that you don't want or has unintended consequences. And so you can just keep it with HTML, or maybe you're just more comfortable working with HTML, and if that's the case, you want to disable the visual editor. So I think in most cases you would not want to do this, but there could be cases where you do. And so if you do, click disable right here, save the settings, and then when you go in, for example, to add a new post, Whereas typically you will see the visual editor and the text editor, and you can toggle back and forth between them. And when you're in visual, a link would look like this. If you have disabled the visual editor, now you will not have those two different options there. It will simply default to the text editor, and a link will look like this. And so you'll be working strictly with HTML. Okay, so that is what happens when you disable the visual editor. And if you disable it and realize later that you want it back on, just go back to edit your profile and uncheck that box. The next setting is the toolbar setting. And so this blue toolbar here that you have on when you're in the dashboard, which is to make navigation as simple as possible for the different areas of the dashboard that you want to go to, you may not want that on when you are visiting actual pages on your site, okay? Looking at your site as a user would look at your site. And so you can have it checked to show the toolbar when you're viewing the site, or unchecked if you don't want that to show. And so again, this is what it looks like when you don't have the toolbar enabled, so it just shows you the site as it is. With the toolbar enabled, you have your blue toolbar here even when you're on main pages of your site. And I will tell you that when I'm using Rainmaker as a user on my sites, I like having the toolbar on. Because for example, if I'm on a page and I want to edit that page, I can really quickly click a button to edit that page or get to some place that I need to be inside of the dashboard by having it there. So I find that it makes things a lot more convenient, but that will be up to you and how you are going to use Rainmaker, but that is how you would disable the toolbar if you would like to do that. Next up is adding a short biography about yourself. And certainly if you are going to be publishing content under your name, then I think having a bio can be a very good thing to add, and I'll show you how to do this here in just a second, but to add a bio to the bottom of your post. It helps you establish credibility. It gives you an opportunity to provide links to other sites that you have or other resources that you want people to check out. So here's just a really quick bio of me. You can see I list my credentials. I have links in here to other sites that people may be interested in. So all that right here in the bio, you don't want it to be real long, keep it short, a sentence or two, but you can put HTML into it. And so you have that bio there, but now if you want it to show automatically on your pages, scroll down a little bit and you will see that there is a section for an author box. And so if you check on enable author box on this member's post, now your biography will show on posts that are published under your name. And it's the same thing. If you want to enable the author box on your archive page, then you can check here. And these settings right above the author box will give you a chance to add a custom title, headline, and description text to your author archive page if you want to do that. And that is a nice thing to do. So that way when people click on your author page, you know, they see your name, they can see your description right there, and they can have your bio if you have clicked on this option. And so here's what that looks like. If you have a post, and again, this is just a very basic test post used for purposes of illustration, but here's the headline of the post, the text of the post, now we get to the bottom of the post, and here's my bio. I didn't have to do anything special, add a content area, anything like that. It was just automatically added to the page. And same thing here on my author archive page, right? So this would be a rundown, a listing of all the different posts that I have published. And here's my bio right there so people know, okay, here's this author, Jared Morris. Who is this guy? Okay, he's got some credentials. Maybe I want to read what he has to say. And so that makes that process very simple to do. And then finally, this is especially useful if you are using multiple, you know, maybe your phone and other computers to log into your Rainmaker site. And maybe, you know, you're at the public library and you log in and you realize that you forgot to log out. Well, you can log out all sessions. So if you simply click out, log out everywhere else right here, this will allow you to log out of other sessions to make sure that you're only logged in to one, just give you that peace of mind, which sometimes we all need. And then of course, if you ever want to change your password, you can do that right here in account management. So all of this is right there on your edit profile page, just some different options there that can improve your experience using Rainmaker, depending on obviously how you plan to use it for yourself.
Yeah, and if you're going to accept guest posts or if you're going to have a multi-author site, you definitely want to have that bio show up, because guest authors, that's where they get the main reward. That's where they get the links to their own site and the call to action to sign up for their newsletters. So it's going to be attractive to get guest authors, guest writers, and it's going to show readers who is writing the content and why they should be listened to. So that's important if you've got a multi-author site, or if you're going to want to attract guest bloggers, or if you've got other properties that you want to direct people to. And as Jared says, even for a single author, it does give a little bit of authority. It's a little about box. So maybe if you're a single author site, you would want to link to your about page from there, just give people an idea of what you look like and who you are and why you should be listened to. So it's one of those nice things to have, even if it's just you, but if you want to attract other people to write, or if you've already got a team of people, then you definitely want to implement that.
All right, so now let's talk about two important default pages. So you've gone through your general settings, you're ready to go, you've added Google Analytics, you know, you've got your profile ready to go and your bio, you're ready to start adding pages, right? Well, here are two pages that you probably want to add or actually edit, because they're already in Rainmaker for you, before you even start doing posts or publishing a podcast or anything like that. You want to make sure that you get these pages right, so that when you do start attracting visitors to your website, these pages are there because people look to these pages, and so you want to make sure that you have them set up. So if you go into pages, and again, these screenshots that I'm showing you are from a site that I just set up. So this is how Rainmaker looks when you first get your site, and I haven't even launched this to live, haven't migrated any content over. So this is how it will look. So if you go click on pages, you actually have a bunch of pages already in there. You didn't have to create these. They're in there by default. An about page, there's a page for the affiliate area, for archives, for the blog, a bunch of different pages that, you know, we thought and our developers thought you are likely to use at some point during your time using Rainmaker. And so they're set up there by default with some helpful hints for how to make the most of that page once you start using it. And so you can see all those by just clicking on and finding the page menu. So let's talk first about the about page. Again, so don't go click add new and start a new about page. Just go over here, click edit, and you can edit the about page that is already there. Because as you'll see, it already has the slug right there for about. And down here in the content section, there is actually content right there. And again, the goal here is to help you create the most compelling about page possible. So as you can see, this says a compelling headline to introduce your website's unique appeal, and then it even gives you kind of some standard text that you can use. So you want to go in here, and obviously you don't want this default text to be there when people show up, so you want to go put in the text for you that is going to explain who you are, what your site is about, give visitors to your website a snapshot of who you are and why you are qualified to talk about this topic and why your readers should be enthusiastic to learn from you. Your about page really is your opportunity to explain that to your audience. And I do want to point out two specific resources that will help you create great about pages. All right. The first one is, Are You Making These 7 Mistakes With Your About Page? Sonia Simone wrote this. It's on the Copyblogger blog. I set up a redirect link to make it as easy as possible for you to get there. So if you go to rainmakerplatform.com/go/about1, it will redirect you to that page on Copyblogger. And yes, those redirect links are made using the Rainmaker platform. That is a feature that we will get into in a future webinar, but that's all done right in the back end of Rainmaker. A second resource for creating a killer about page is the 5-step process for writing an about page that connects and converts by Leanne Regala. This is also from Copyblogger, but the easiest way to get there is go to rainmakerplatform.com/go/about2. I mean, those two posts alone could have been, you know, the content there could have been an hour-long webinar on their own, and so we don't have time to get into it in this session, but I wanted to make sure you got those resources, because about pages are, I'm always pleasantly surprised by how much traffic my about pages get. About pages are actually end up being pretty important in conversion. You can get a lot of leads from them. So don't go through the motions with an about page or just put some kind of quick default copy on there. I would urge you to really put some time in and create a really, really good about page and make that a priority from the beginning, because it's another one of those things like Google Analytics. If you don't do it from the start, it can be easy to forget and take for granted later, and you may well be missing opportunities to convert readers into subscribers and subscribers into customers if you don't use your about page wisely.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about this when we talk about the minimum viable website, but got to reinforce this, what Jared is saying, your about page isn't about you. It's about why your audience would listen to you. Why go to this website over anybody else's website? What is the advantage of reading your website and listening to you? So it's a really important page, and it's a page people do look out for. So make sure you at least do your best attempt, and you can always go back and polish it.
Yep. All right. Now, the second page that you definitely want to make sure that you have set up is the contact page. And again, the contact page is one of these pages up there by default. So don't click add new and create a new one. Just go edit the contact page that is already there for you. Again, it will have the slug for contact. And this, again, has text, some default text on there that is going to be very helpful for you as you're creating your contact page. So that is there, but you want to replace it with the information that will be relevant for your page. And then as you go on there, as you look at some of that default text, it says it is smart to have users contact you through the built-in form on this page instead of revealing an email address that can be spammed. So instead of maybe you just putting, you know, email me at jared@copyblogger.com, you can do that. But if you're afraid of your email address being spammed, then you can also add a form to the page. And this tells you exactly where to go to set that form up on the page. And then, of course, you can generate an auto reply from that form for people who fill it out. And then you can set a page that they will be redirected to. So if you want to have a thank you page or some other page, you can set that up inside of the form settings. And so to get to the forms, you can just click on Manage and then click on Forms. And that will take you there, and you will see that there is a contact form already set up for you. So you can click on Edit, and you can go in and edit the fields of the form, change them, you know, if you want to make it more substantial, less substantial, whatever you want to do for your particular contact form, click Edit right there. But then to display the form, all you do is copy the short code and add the short code to the page. And if you were to do this, then you would simply have a contact page that has the title contact and your form. And so if you wanted to add any additional text to it, you could obviously just add that to the beginning of the page, above or below where you've added the short code. But that will give you a simple contact page. And again, another one that if you don't set up right from the beginning can be really easy to overlook. And you want to make it as simple as possible for people to contact you, because they may have a question, many, many different reasons, obviously, why people want to contact you, but you are creating your content so that you can connect with an audience, and the contact form is how an audience will connect with you. And so you want to make sure that you have that on there for people who want to take advantage of it when they're on your site. And then this is what that will look like. So if you just had that basic contact form that I was mentioning, last name, first name, email, whatever their comments are, they can submit it. And again, if you go in and edit the form, you can make any of these fields. The star means that it's required. You can make these fields non-required, request people's names, whatever you want, or you could request additional information. The forms are very robust, very versatile. So I wouldn't overthink it with your contact form. Keep it simple. But you do have those options there to make it say and do pretty much whatever you want it to. Any thoughts, Chris, on the contact form before we spend a few minutes answering some questions?
Yeah, it's just like we were saying before, it's one of the pages that you do want to have up as soon as possible, because it could be you get 10 visitors and one out of the 10 wants to contact you. So having that is a really good thing, because you never know when somebody might want to send you money, inquire about your services, sponsor you, right? So it's important to have that contact form up as soon as possible. Even if it's not used for the first month, it's worth having it there. And the way the forms work in Rainmaker is, even if the email doesn't get to you, you can have an archive in the forms section, so you can see all the submitted results from the past. So if somebody's giving you feedback, you can look over that feedback and see if there's any trends. We improve our own sites that way, and so we encourage you to do it yourself.
Yep. All right, so we do have about 10 minutes or so that we have for questions. I do, before we take the questions, I do just want to point out the upcoming sessions that we have. So there will be a Q&A next week, Wednesday, February 15th at 4 o'clock Eastern Time. Chris, you and I will both be there. And all we're going to be doing is taking questions on Rainmaker's basic settings. So we're going to take some right here, but if you have questions that don't get answered, or if you think of some additional questions, this webinar will be the place to ask those. Be on the lookout for an email that will provide a link to a page with a form that you can submit your question. And it's always good to submit questions ahead of time because we can prepare answers, and obviously those questions get priority. Then moving forward, we have another session scheduled on Wednesday, February 22nd. This will be the second in our Minimum Viable Website series, and it's how to choose the best theme for your Rainmaker site. So you got the settings down. Obviously, the next thing that you need to do to go live with your site and get it out there and start attracting visitors is to have it look nice and to have it look the way that you want it with your branding. And so we're going to talk about theme choice and some basic design principles, and Rafal Tamal will be here, and he'll be able to provide some excellent insight, answer some questions. So if you do have kind of design-related questions, I would certainly hold those off for that session and then the Q&A on that session. But if there are any other basic settings questions, Chris, let's take about 10 minutes and we can answer those now and then pick up whatever additional questions there are on next week's Q&A.
Yeah, so one of the questions was about multi-author site, even if you're accepting guest articles. So that's not people logging in and creating content for you. That's people submitting the content via email, say, or a Google Doc, and you pasting it in. How do you get their author bio to come up? The way we do it on copyblogger.com is we set up a user for them, but just a subscriber user, not one that actually logs into the site. Just so we've got their name and the profile, we set up the bio in their profile, in their member profile, and then using Quick Edit in the All Post view, you can change the author of that post. So you create it as you, get it how you want it, you portrait, you proofread it, you edit it, you add all your pictures, set your feature image and all your keywords. Once you've done that, you change the author from you to that user that you've created for them. So they get their own bio, and it gets their author attribution, but they don't log into your site, they can't log in. It's a user that's just basically a placeholder for that information. So that's how we do it. So we've got a whole bunch of users that never log in to copyblogger.com, because obviously we don't want people going in and editing stuff. We just want it to be attributed to them. So hopefully that explains things a little bit.
Stephanie has a question. Is there an overview of all Rainmaker's features with some more in-depth info on what the various features do, how to set them up? It's a great question, Stephanie, and we're going to go through a lot of them in this webinar series, but that is the great part about the knowledge base. Is the knowledge base takes basically every feature that is in there and goes in-depth on how to use it. So whether that's each individual theme, you know, whatever feature you want, the first place that I would go, and that I do go when I have questions, is into the knowledge base. There's a nice table of contents there that can help you navigate. You can also search, and almost always the search brings up the relevant knowledge base article that I need. And then you'll also see some guides and some videos in there. So pretty much any feature, anything that you want to know how to do is there in the knowledge base. And I would highly recommend going there first whenever you have a question about a specific feature for Rainmaker.
Yeah. Dan asks, if you're getting a lot of spam or robot traffic coming to your contact form, is there anything you can do on Rainmaker? Yes, there is. Search the knowledge base for honeypot. It's a special field that you can add to your form that isn't displayed to human beings, but software, spammers software that they use to just send you junk, will see it and it'll get trapped by it. It's almost like, you know, those "are you a robot" things, but it's not visible to human beings. It only shows up to robots, and that will eliminate those, and it'll just frustrate them, which is always fun.
Yeah. Let's see, someone had a question here about domains. Okay, so Angie asked, if your site is already launched, is it possible to change the domain name? Chris, what would be the proper process for doing that? Because the answer is yes.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's a case-by-case thing, so contact support and they will help you out because there's some nuances that you really need to talk through. Like I said before, one of the main considerations is, as well as not having the site go down for any long period, which you don't want to do, you also don't want Google to forget about it and lose any progress you've made with Google. So contact support and they'll be able to talk you through it, and maybe the services team will help you, or maybe it's simple enough that they just give you instructions, but each case is a little bit different.
Nancy has a quick question here. Can you please review the forms notifications? So Nancy, I'm going to be bold here for a second and actually pull up a live site. So I'll just show you, we'll edit this basic contact form, and if you go in here to notifications, and so you have some different notifications. So you can send, for instance, an admin email, and so that's just the name of the notification, but then you have who that email is coming from, and then the from address, and then who it's going to. And so again, you know, this is kind of set up right here with these defaults so that you can see it. So you would want your to email, like for instance, if I was setting this up so that it went to me, I would put jared@copyblogger.com on it. And now this email notification is going to go to me, and I'll make sure that I get notified. Now let's say for some reason you don't want notifications, or notifications aren't coming through. It doesn't mean that that the submissions haven't been coming through. If you go back out to the main Manage Forms page, you can always click on View Submissions, and that will show you any of the submissions. So there are no submissions found here because no one has filled out this form. But if people started filling out this contact form, all of the submissions would be captured here, whether you've received an admin notification or not. So they're always saved. And then if you're having issues with the admin notifications, just go through and change those settings. Make sure you have the correct email address set up with it, but you always have that failsafe of the submissions being saved right here. What other questions can we get to here, Chris, in the last 4 minutes?
There's been a couple of questions about different type of migrations. All of the migrations go through the services team because they're the best equipped to look at your existing site, look at your existing email account if you're wanting to migrate your email. So do some really quick and easy migrations, and they do the more complicated ones, and they will actually tell you everything involved, and even if there's going to be a cost, they'll do a quote for you. So if you want to migrate your email, migrate your content, import some content, merge two sites together, they've done all of that before, but each case they need to talk through with you. So they collect some information using that services form, and they'll get in touch, and then they'll talk you through it. So it's not something that we can just say, you know, you do this and there's these three steps, because each site is different, each outcome you want to achieve is different, but they've done it all. So contact services and they'll be able to help you.
I had a question about those two links for the about and the contact page. Let me pull those back up here and I'll just leave them on the screen here for a few minutes while we answer the next question. Hey, Chris, I saw a couple of questions about the photo for the user. Is that still done via Gravatar?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, so if you want to do that, what you want to do is you want to go to gravatar.com, G-R-A-V-A-T-A-R.com, and you just set up a quick account with Gravatar. And basically what that means is Gravatar is globally recognized avatar. So you can create an account with and create the account with your admin email address or whatever email address is associated with that user. You add a picture, and now wherever a Gravatar is pulled with that email address, that picture that you have designated will come up. So it makes it really, really easy, and you can suggest that same thing to your authors if you have guest authors. And what's nice is a lot of authors have probably already gotten set up at Gravatar, and so it will already come up. But if their picture's not coming up, you can just let them know to go set it up at gravatar.com and make sure that the email address that is associated with their account on your site is in there associated with their Gravatar account, and that will pull the photo right up, really simply.
So we've had a question about Google Analytics spam, so I'm going to paste an article here from moz.com, and this is what Lauren, our analytics expert, gave us when we were talking about it. So stop analytics spam. It's a filter that you can add to your Google Analytics that'll stop any robot spam. So they're using it as a promotional technique. They're getting into your referrers artificially. Nobody's actually visiting your site. They're injecting it into your Google Analytics, because the Google Analytics code in your site has to be visible, because it's based on viewers, it's based on readers loading it in the browser. So this is a filter you can add to your Google Analytics to stop those things appearing, or at least mitigate it.
And then we had a question in here about the session coming up with Rafal. If, give me just a second, because I'm going to find the newsletter, the post I did on the newsletter, where we have the links for those sessions, because you can already sign up for the session with Rafal. So let me see if I can find that. Ah, here we go. So all of these sessions, you can find them here on the Rainmaker Platform blog, and you will see sign-up links for the next Q&A, the next webinar, and then the Q&A after that. And again, for the two upcoming Q&As, then we will send out individual emails with the form where you can submit your questions. So that is how we will handle that. You have a final question, Chris, that we can answer before we have to close up shop here for the day?
Yeah, we've had a couple of people asking, if you're migrating from another email system, can we maintain the tags, and can you import your lists and your subscribers? Yes, you can. The one thing that we ask you to do, though, is make sure that if you've not emailed them for a while using your old email system, that you email them first before migrating. Because what happens is, and this happened to me with ChrisG.com, if you haven't emailed for a while and then you send an email out of the blue randomly, like a year later, you get all these unsubscribes and people hitting spam buttons, because they say, who the heck are you? We don't know who you are. How did I get onto this list? Because they've forgotten who you are. So we only import lists with single opt-in if they've double opt-in before, so they've confirmed their opt-in before, and if you've emailed them recently, because otherwise it's just going to cause you all kinds of problems, and the system will automatically lock that list if you get lots of spam complaints, because obviously, you know, we're trying to keep the deliverability the highest it can be. So if you're going to import a list, make sure you've emailed them recently and that you can confirm that they actually want to be on that list, and not just you've been to an event and picked up loads of business cards, right? But yeah, we can import the list, we can import the tags, and again, it's the services team that would do that.
Alrighty, well, I hope that we see a lot of you at the Q&A next week, and then at the session with Rafal the week after. Chris, I'm glad that we've set this up the way that we did. Experience taught us that whenever we do these webinars about Rainmaker features, there are always way more questions than we can answer. So I'm really glad that we have a separate Q&A just so that we can answer the questions that we couldn't get to that were already submitted in the question box, and then all the additional questions that I know that you all will have. We may not be able to get to all of those on the next session, but we will get to as many as we can. So thank you all for being here. Thank you for, I saw a lot of positive words and enthusiasm for this series in the question box. So that definitely excites us and makes us enthusiastic. So I'm really excited about this series, and hopefully we see you all on all the future sessions. Any final thoughts, Chris, before we wrap up?
Just thank you, everybody, for your questions, and get thinking about your settings and submit your questions for the Q&A. And definitely you want to be on that Rafal Tomel session, because he's our expert designer that always has a lot to bring to these things. So.
Absolutely. All righty. We will talk to you all next Wednesday on the Q&A.